Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All seems lost. The evil, bloodthirsty army is breaking down the defenses. And your army is dwindling. And the women and the children are exposed and in danger. And then suddenly, everything turns around. When it was at its bleakest, when it was at its darkest, when it was at the worst hour, it all turned around. And suddenly, your allies appear in the distance out of nowhere, here to help and to drive off the evil horde. And the army of shining knights lays waste to the dark intruders. That is a you catastrophe. And that's also a fun word to say. You catastrophe. Go ahead and say it. You catastrophe. All right. This is a word coined by J.R.R. Tolkien. Anybody ever heard of him? You catastrophe. J.R.R. Tolkien was the guy who wrote The Lord of the Rings. Anybody ever heard of that? Seen the movies? If you watch the movies or you read the book, all right, you will find you catastrophe all over the place. A you catastrophe is a combination of two kind of words, all right? The Greek prefix you, so like E-U, which means good, and the word catastrophe, all right? So it's not a catastrophe that's a bad thing, it's a good catastrophe, right? Doesn't that sound amazing, a good catastrophe? Where everything comes together the way it's supposed to, right? So instead of destruction, it's like the opposite of destruction, where everything is just good and perfect, right? And like I said, in The Lord of the Rings, this happens all the time, where all seems lost and everything's gonna go terribly, and then suddenly a you catastrophe happens, a new character appears in the book, a character comes back, an army appears, and everything works out exactly as it should. Now, J.R.R. Tolkien said this about the word you catastrophe, all right? He said, it's the sudden happy turn in a story which pierces you with a joy that brings tears. Anybody ever been that happy? Joy that brings tears, right? It produces its peculiar effect because it is a sudden glimpse of truth. Your whole nature chained in material cause and effect, the chain of death, feels a sudden relief. As if a major limb out of joint had suddenly snapped back. Oh, can't you just feel that? Anybody ever have that happen for you? Major limb out of joint snaps back? Yeah, yeah. If you ever own a chiropractor shop or you ever start one, call it the you catastrophe chiropractor shop, right? That's the whole idea of it. All the things wrong finally all go right. And this story that we just read is a story of you catastrophe. It may not be on a grand scale of a battle or a war or an army, but it's a you catastrophe for this man, right? This demon-possessed man who is living naked and he was living among tombs in the desert, and he had these violent seizures, and they would try to bind him and stop him from tormenting people, but he would break the chains because he didn't have just one, not just two, not just three, but a legion of demons in him. If there was anybody who is more pitiful and disgraceful and most distasteful, it was this man. Hey, have you ever felt like there's somebody that you know, or somebody that you know is going through something that you think, boy, they will never change? Yeah, you ever know somebody like that? Boy, they will never come around. If there was anybody like that, it was this man. This man who had a legion of demons in him. A man who people just got used to. Oh yeah, you don't go over there because you know, what's his name? Joe Schmo with all the demons is over there. Yeah, you just avoid that part. It was this man who would never change. You know, this demon-possessed man represents all the things wrong with the world, right? Sin and death and surely the devil with a legion of demons in him. And then who shows up on the scene? Jesus. And Jesus comes up to this demon-possessed man full of a legion of demons. And you would expect, if you know who Jesus is, you would expect a big showdown, like Western style, right? You know, you got the music, na-na-na, right? And you got the ready for the quick draw with Jesus versus these demons. I mean, and this is a legion. That's an army term, right? And what happens? There's no battle. Jesus speaks a word, and the legion of demons, they may not be outnumbered by Jesus, but they know that they are outgunned. And they beg for mercy. A legion of demons begs for mercy in the presence of Jesus. And legion begs not to be thrown directly into hell, where, by the way, the demons are not in charge. They actually suffer, all right? They beg not to be thrown directly into hell, but they beg to be thrown into that herd of pigs over there on the hillside, right? And so Jesus, in his mercy, grants it. We talked about when pigs fly, right? How unlikely it is that something like that might happen. And the legion gets sent into the pigs, and the pigs fly into the water. Friends, we may not be a bunch of naked, demon-possessed people like that man, but in many ways we share the same reality. We are the sinful, bloodthirsty, evil horde. We live in a world full of graves. And it seems to be all ruled by Satan, doesn't it? Satan seems to be calling all the shots. When something wrong happens in our life, when we feel that temptation over and over and over again, when we see bombs being dropped out in the world and violence happening and cruel people doing things to others, it seems like Satan is in control. And sin and death and the devil seem like the evil tyrant who will always be there and will never change. And so we learn to just get along in the world. We learn to just believe that it's all normal and the world is always going to be like that and things won't ever change. And deliverance seems too good to be true. Sin, death, and the devil? Yeah, that'll all go away when pigs fly, right? And then you catastrophe. Jesus shows up. You know, J.R.R. Tolkien, all right, he said that the greatest eucatastrophe of human history was the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. It was Jesus coming for this world. Tolkien was writing the Lord of the Rings and other books like that to get people used to the idea of eucatastrophe, to give hope, to say that things like that do happen. In fact, they have happened in the greatest way possible in Jesus. Jesus is the great eucatastrophe because Jesus has made all things right for you. He has died for you on the cross. He has taken all of your sin away. He has risen from the dead for you. He has already forgiven you of all your sins. And he has promised you that no matter what sins you commit, you will be forgiven and you will have life eternal. And he promises one day to come back and to show you with your own eyes the greatest eucatastrophe yet. When pigs fly. They may not actually fly, but he will make the world brand new. He will make the world as it should be, like a joint going back into place. All things will be as they should be. They will turn around, and no longer will there be anything lacking. And no longer will there be anything going the wrong way. And even the people that you would guess would never change will change just like that. Jesus is the great eucatastrophe. And he does it for you. And that's the gospel. The gospel is the impossible happening. It's when pigs fly. It's eucatastrophe. The gospel is the impossible happening. Now, did you catch the rest of that story? Because it didn't just end when the man was in his right mind and the pigs flew off the cliff, right? There was the rest of the story too, wasn't there? It was the people, the townspeople, right? When they see this man in his right mind sitting and listening to Jesus, what's their reaction? Terror. Isn't that ironic? These people have gotten used to seeing a man who has a legion of demons possessing him. They've gotten used to a man who is violent and lives among tombs. They've gotten used to that. You would think that they would know terror, and you would think that that seeing a man in his right mind would not be fearful. But what they fear more than the demons is this man who is now so changed that he is clothed and in his right mind. Isn't this wild? Isn't this backwards? They fear because this man was made well. And actually, they fear so much that they ask Jesus to leave. Now, wait a second. We've already seen that in this story, haven't we? Jesus shows up on the scene, and who asks Jesus to leave? Oh, that was the demon, right? In fact, the demon thought it would be torment for Jesus to do holy things in the demon's presence. And so the demon asks, "Do not torment me." And now the people are asking the same thing. Jesus, you've done something too holy. It's scary. Don't torment us. Leave. They didn't want their lives disrupted by Jesus. They got used to sin and the devil and death reigning in their lives. And to them, it felt normal. And they wanted their normal back. Friends, sin and death and the devil are pretty normal for us too. We're used to it. Bombs drop in the world. Yep, that's how it goes. Just the latest news, latest breaking news report. Somebody else died. Ah, that's so sad. I'm so sorry. You sin again? Like you always do? Ah, yeah, I got to remember not to do that. Sin, death, and the devil are normal in our world. We're used to it. And that's why the gospel can be disturbing to us. And did you see what Jesus did? The man who had been freed from the demon asked Jesus if he could follow him. And you know what Jesus' answer was? No. And it was a good no. Jesus said, you don't need to follow me. You already get it. In fact, I've got a job for you. You stay here and you preach to those people who sent me away. Because you know what? What those people needed to hear was the testimony of that man who had been freed by the demons. If they're going to say the same thing that the demon said, Jesus, don't torment us, get out of here. Well, Jesus sends the one from whom the demons had been freed, and he tells him to go and preach to the people that they might repent. Dear Christian, you live in a you catastrophe. You live in a reality where all things have been and are being made right. Jesus gives you his word to be on your lips. His word that makes all things right. His word that forgives sins. His word that gives eternal life. His word that makes all things new. He gives you that word to share. And dear Christian, just like Jesus told that man to stay put and preach to the people around him, he tells you, dear Christian, the same. You are where Jesus wants you to be. You are where Jesus wants you to share his word. Maybe that's with the people who live in your house. Maybe that's with the people where you work. Maybe that's with your friends. Maybe that's with your neighbors. But Jesus has given you his word, and he puts you where he wants you to be, to share his word that has you catastrophic power. Because, dear Christian, you live in the you catastrophe. Sin and death and even the devil himself has been defeated. In Jesus' name, amen.